everyone. How's it going? Welcome back to Nintendo Prime Podcast. It's episode 50. We have hit the half century mark. Pretty exciting.
Holy crap.
Technically, it's like the second time we've done it because, you know, we had an older podcast that we rebooted. But still, for this one,
yeah,
where we try to take things a bit more serious, a bit more honest, a bit more fun, we need to make sure that we show our guests as well.
Yeah. What the heck?
Helps if I use the right layout, right? There.
But nope, that ain't even the right layout.
That's the right
Holy one, crud.
I got too many buttons over here. I got too many buttons.
Wow.
Too many buttons. There we go. I was going to be like, wait a second. That doesn't look lined up right. Oh, wait. There's no mic. There he is.
Hey.
So I'm your host, as always, Nathaniel Rumpeljance. We have Eric Moore in the middle and Mike Perez on your far right. How's it going, everybody?
Good, good.
Mike, are you still muted?
He might be.
it's a commonality. Should we just pretend we could hear him the whole time?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's my own little personal trait thing. You know, like it's me if I'm muted when I start talking.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Uh huh. Yeah. We'll pass it off like that. All right. So, how's it going, everyone? I hope you guys are having a good time. Sorry, the podcast started about a half hour later than I originally planned. We're messing around, playing some games, and kind of chilling. But we're all good. We're ready to go. It's probably going to be a bit of a shorter podcast. I'm not really planning to go much past an hour just because I'm starving. I have ate nothing today. Well, I mean, I guess if you count... No, that doesn't count. A bottle of water does not count as food, unfortunately.
No,
so,
does not. I think I had a protein bar.
Hey, that's a meal.
That's not count either. This doesn't count
that's
either.
That's a meal. Doesn't fill you up, but it's a meal. Anyway, so yeah, got to get some food in me. But that being said, we do have a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Three things in particular we're going to talk about. And all three things happened literally within the last few days. We had an indie world, so we'll talk about that. We have Nintendo kind of, sort of, talking about next gen, at least a little bit, in some very interesting ways. And then there was a price drop randomly for Switch that went away after a little while.
'Cause reasons.
We'll talk about that because it makes me think that something's coming and some people just jumped the gun. But before we talk about that, we got to talk about what have we been playing lately? And let's start with Mike, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't think I've touched a video game in the last week. I'm just
besides Madden tonight.
Straight, no, I mean, I don't even count Madden anymore. Madden's not a game.
Right, yeah.
So I literally haven't played any games. I'm sorry to let my fans down. Sorry to let the people.
What kind of game
down.
Are you?
I've been too busy.
Stay away from Twitter.
But I've been trying to get ready for Prime Gaming Fest to my chagrin. I've been spending lots of hours in emails and phone calls and shopping, buying stuff. I got a stack of stuff that's almost taller than our desk at this point.
Yeah.
It's getting insane. And there's only more gonna happen. I am happy to announce though, because I haven't really said this publicly outside of Twitter, that Prime Gaming Fest is now June 9th to June 14th. We have set dates now. 6 days of thousands of dollars of giveaways, lots of special guests, including Mike. Although, I mean, do we call Mike special when he guests every week anyways? I don't know. But, I mean, he's going to be on for a while, for a couple segments, maybe more. Eric might be dipping out after the weekend, so I don't know. I might need to be like, knock, knock, Mike, can you come on for like 2 hours? I don't have anybody else. I'm by myself. I'm competing with myself, and I always lose.
Yeah, that Monday, Tuesday is going to be...
Good,
we'll
you
see.
Are.
He'll know soon enough. I'm planning
on asking tomorrow to see what the work schedule looks like.
If they can somehow pull it off, and then you just are slammed the rest of the week.
I mean, it's
one, I'm sorry,
well,
you're slammed the rest
no,
of the week.
No, it's probably more of I will be going out of town that same week, like... on site for installs,
just
type
like,
of thing.
Can you please push me off till at least Tuesday, half day Tuesday?
It's kind of stupid though, because we've had these projects for quite a while now, and they kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and now everything's just seemed to culminate right in this kind of first part of June, and it's like, this is stupid. Which is possible that it still gets pushed, but...
I was going to say, it kind of sounds like pushing it seems to be the coup de grace, and now it'll all get pushed to July or something.
But then again, though, in the industry that I'm in, summer is the busy, busy season, so...
Sure,
it happens. It would make sense that all of a sudden, in June...
So what you're saying is, good thing we're not going to E3. Because I would have had to bought tickets and everything by now, and then you wouldn't be able to go.
Yeah. Oops. Shut up over here.
That's all right. That's when I ship my kids off to my sister and say, Yulia, you're coming. Cameraman.
Right?
Camera girl. Cam girl. Ooh. Anyways, so Mike, what have you been playing lately?
All right. I restarted my Animal Crossing Island today, and I downloaded that game, the game from the Nintendo Indie Direct, the one that has to do with the music and the timing.
Okay, I forgot. Sure. I forgot what it is, but you bought it.
Yeah, I bought it. I started playing it for a little bit. I actually started getting into it. You know, it's pretty fun because the soundtrack is really good. I like the soundtrack. I like the game itself is pretty good. It's kind of challenging. You have to kind of hit the mark every time. Like if you shoot your gun, it has to be shot at the right time with the rhythm so that you can inflict more damage. If not, then you go nowhere. But it's pretty fun. I don't have an opinion on it yet, but it's pretty fun. I'll probably make a review on it.
Ooh, dropping a review for Soundfall. Nice. The game you couldn't even remember the name of.
Is it Silent Fall?
Soundfall.
Soundfall. There you go. Yeah, that one. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. No. I mean, but then again, what game was not forgettable in this past Indie Direct? You know?
Another Crab's Treasure.
Which one?
Another Crab's Treasure. The shell like.
A lot of Crab's Treasure?
Yes, another Crab's Treasure. Yeah, a lot of Crab's Treasure. Yes. Another Crab's Treasure. Jesus.
We'll get to the indie world here in a bit. Eric, you been playing anything?
Just some Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars!
Freaking just as amazing.
How many episodes are you through?
I think I'm either in the middle of or right at the end of 3.
Are you going in order?
Yeah.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'll come back and play Open World and...
Oh, you mean you're just like plowing
just
through?
Just plowing through the story.
Plowing through and then coming back for the extras and the full and the 100%. Yeah. There's so much to do.
Even though I probably should do the opposite.
There's so much to do. There is so much. It's insane.
What
game was it?
Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't started that one yet.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really good.
It's as much fun as I remember it being just watching it at
the demo. Yeah, the demo. Yep. Cool. Yeah, I'm on the second episode. I don't know why. I guess I did play Lego Star Wars earlier this week for like an hour. I just forgot about it because my week's been so crazy. Yeah. But anyways, good game. Very good game. I'm very, very pleased with that game. That was turned out really well. It's definitely one of the best Lego games I've ever played so far. So.
Oh, for sure. That was a game last night that during the storms, I was just like in my basement.
Plowing.
Just playing.
Oh, yeah. We had some nice storms last night, everyone. Oh, yeah. It was fun. I didn't move my kids to the basement because I'm a stubborn parent that doesn't want to deal with my kids waking up if they don't have to. So I stayed up through the whole storm just watching outside by the window, you know, where you should stay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just waiting to see if anything's bad enough. It never really got... It never really got bad. I mean, we got some hail, but it never really got bad enough that I was like, all right, let's move.
Not
the
as
kids.
Bad as the night before, though.
Oh, no. The night before was nasty.
Tuesday was
we've
nasty.
Had some nasty storms to start the year. We had nasty storms in general the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, we had one that took out a whole bunch of trees in the middle of winter, and we got some crazy weather in Wisconsin. But you know what? It should clear up a bit towards the summer. Usually
we had a tornado in December.
Yeah.
That was insane.
I mean, I didn't have a tornado. Somebody in Wisconsin did. No, wasn't
we did. It came right past your house here.
Yeah, but it didn't actually touch down and break anything here.
How do you think all those trees dove by?
I was awake when the trees were snapping down. The tornado never touched down.
I know. We were here.
Yeah.
I was here, too.
I know. It was up in the sky. It never came down.
Did they show the path of it going
yes,
right
past Yes, because the
house.
Path of it was in the sky going like that. And it was destroying trees. And it wasn't just that path. It was over there and over there and over there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was a really nasty storm.
Yeah.
But we're all good. Everyone lived. No one died. No one died to that one. I actually checked the news. No one actually got hurt. A little bit of house damage. Wasn't strong enough to actually take out a house, but there was a little bit of house damage. But
that was the
and on my side of the world, it's beautiful 98 here in Florida, sunny.
It was a beautiful crisp 94 today and sunny.
Beach weather.
It's 94 and sunny here after just being in the 50s last week. So
it's the opposite in the summer. Here it rains a lot in the summer.
Yeah.
It rains a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, Florida's one of those that it rains for like 2 hours and you're sunny for like four, and then it rains for another 4 hours and then it's sunny for two, and it's like, you're exactly like, fuck, pick one.
Then you feel all four seasons one day.
Yeah, I'll be in Florida on June 19th.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going on a cruise.
That's true. You're going to Miami, right?
Miami, yeah. Yeah, we're going on a cruise. We'll be there on the 19th. But it'll be late on the 19th. So it's not really like we're there on the 19th. But
yeah,
because literally we don't even arrive until like 11 p.m. at night. So not really there on the 19th. But all right. Let's get into our first topic. And that is the indie world. Since we're getting to the official thing that happened here. I'm just going to recap everything that happened in the indie world, at least in the U.S. one week. I might mention a few of the ones from Japan. They had a couple interesting announcements in Japan that I think were a little interesting. I'm surprised we didn't get some of them. But here is the games that were updated and or revealed in the indie. We had Ooblets, Bantora Lost Haven, Electhead, Soundfall, which was the shadow drop of the show. We had Wild Forest, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, Gunbrella, We Are OFK, Silt, Mini Motor Race, which is also out now, Wayward Strand, Cult of the Lamb, Another Crab's Treasure, One Shot World Machine Edition, Gibbon Beyond the Trees, Idle Manager, Card Shark, Cursed to Golf, A Guidebook of Babel, and Opus Echo of Star Song. Now, that's all the ones that they talked about, or at least showed snippets of in our show. Then there was Amori in Japan, Undying, and Supernova Game World, which I believe was announced as running a full 60 FPS and everything on Switch, which is pretty cool. That was actually one of like really neat announcements, but it came out of Japan for some reason, and we just don't... I don't know if it's not coming here. I don't really know. It's not really up to us, is it? It's up to Nintendo and the team behind it. So, setting all that aside, let's just get out of the way our initial thoughts on the indie world. Eric just saw it today. I live streamed it. I know, you know, Mike over there was keeping right up with it. So, what are your guys' thoughts on the indie world on the whole?
Go ahead, Eric.
You sure? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Indie worlds are only so attractive to me. It's interesting to see the different types of like art styles and directions that some of these games go. I really liked the Another Crab's Treasure. That game looked fun. Some of these games looked okay, but there was nothing that was really like, oh my god, I must run out and absolutely get it. So, I mean, overall, it was, for me, maybe a B. It was nice, but I wasn't overly like impressed. So
Mike,
I like indie directs because I think it gives developers, there's a game, I know there was a developer, can't remember the game, but the developer who that was their very first game and they made it to the indie direct.
Yep, Electhead,
you know, pretty impressive.
I'm
right,
like, who does direct? He know
he's a one person developer,
like one person, this is his college game, and magically it's he left college, went home, made it into a full game, somehow got it into an indie world. It's one of those, who the hell is he connected to pull that off? Because holy crap, that is huge.
And that's the magic of indie directs. It gives opportunity to those, you know, who you think might not have it, you know? So the games that were announced are not the our regular run-of-the-mount games that we're used to, you know, like these platformers or shooters but artistically speaking, they were all very beautiful games, very well designed, you know, very well made. We're used to playing our first party games, you know, like we're used to the open world, you know, we're used to the main characters that we know and love. You know, it's good to see, you know, different games. There's something there for everybody. The one game I did like was the what was it again?
The game you bought.
Yeah. I keep calling it Skyfall.
Soundfall.
No, that one caught my attention. That's why I got it. And of course, it shadow dropped it for the same day. So I'm like, even better, you know. It's what it was. It's an indie direct. I wish we would have had other third party companies join, you know, because they are indies, even though they're bigger. Developing company in you know, independent companies like Square Enix is a big giant indie company, you know, they're well known, I wish we would have seen a little more of that or that. And then the at the end, all of these little clips they showed at the end, some of these games I would have loved to see, like in inside the actual direct. Like there's one golf game that looked pretty kind of interesting. That why didn't that kind of that could have been
Curse
a little better.
Golf.
Yeah, Curse of Golf. There you go. Yeah, that would have been good to see, you know, inside that. I could have lived without the one where you went deep inside the ocean and see more about that golf game, which was pretty good. But overall, it was an indie direct, you know, and they delivered, you know.
To be fair to Silt, though, that guy, the single guy hand drew everything in that. That That's is crazy. Absolutely insane. And that guy is a phenomenal artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a little weird for me because obviously I live react to it and then I check out how other fellow content creators and kind of how fans are feeling about it. And there's honestly a lot of negative reactions around the indie world. Some content creators in particular putting out videos like, hey, Nintendo, you need to fix your indie worlds or this and that. And I was talking about this with people after the show because there were a number of people that were watching with me that felt really disappointed. And I think part of the reason that, and this is the same thing with directs sometimes, when people feel disappointed, and for directs, I will say I can understand some of the disappointment when Nintendo has set the bar so high with certain directs that I can understand, like, if there isn't that big major game announced, that big surprise game, you could feel a little bit let down, and I get that. But indie hasn't always been, like, the big game reveals necessarily. It's not always been that. And I feel like what happens is people wanted to see Hollow Knight Silksong. People wanted to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge or, you know, one of these other games. And I keep thinking, what is the purpose of an indie world? I've been really sitting on this for a couple days wondering all the complaints, all the people saying, oh, I know how to fix it. Or this is what is the purpose of an indie world? It is to draw attention to games coming to Switch that you might not know about, and I honestly think because the eShop sucks. This is how Nintendo has addressed the eShop sucking ass. Yeah. Is we're just going to tell you what's worth paying attention to. True. Period. True. It ain't in the indie stuff. Don't worry about it. Or if it appeared before, fine. But we already advertised that. Let's advertise something else. And when people say, "Oh, well, Silksong, do you need an indie world to see Silksong?" You're telling me you're not going to watch that trailer the day it drops without?
Right.
That game has gotten too big.
This one felt like a true, almost true indie. Like a lot of small studios, a lot of not like the, you know, indie developers, but they're larger studios that could be almost, you know, full AAA game making if they really wanted to.
Yeah. I push back on that a little bit. Like, I don't think Team Cherry, who makes Silksong, it's like two people. They're not anywhere close to that. What I think happens, though, and to your point, is sometimes certain indie developers had a success that was so large that even if they didn't grow the team, even if they didn't reinvest, even if they're just sticking with what they got and making more, is they have enough popularity, enough clout that it almost feels like they're no longer an indie game. I'll give a great example. Like, maybe Team Cherry's not a great one to put to, although Silksong, they've made quite a bit of the money off Hollow Knight, so Silksong's probably, you know, I don't think needs an indie world. But to give you an example, like Hellblade. So when they came together, they didn't have outside investment. The developers of Hellblade, Senua Sacrifice, were just people who worked in the AAA industry who said, you know what, we want to prove you can make a AAA game without spending hundreds of millions of dollars. They used their own money, funded that game, it became a huge success, and they were a complete independent studio that just happened to have a ton of experience from the AAA industry, so they were able to make a game on the cheap, and, you know, that led to them getting bought up by Microsoft, and now they do have a big budget when, you know, their whole point, they proved their point. Their point was that you can make a AAA game without a big budget. Not that they never want to have a big budget again. They were out there to prove a point. They proved their point. Now, hey, someone wants to give us a lot of money, and we're going to keep doing what we do. Cool. Like, they're not going to turn that down because they came from that industry, so they're going to be more willing to rejoin it. But I think there's also a sense that true indies are ones that they've never done anything else. They came out of college, like the guy making Elect Head, and went into just making their own game right away. And I find the diatribe between all of that to be quite fascinating to me on what we consider an indie and what we don't. Because technically, you know, like, you know, Mike brought up, he said, hey, Square Enix is technically an independent studio. So is Ubisoft. So is EA. They're all independents. Yep. Mm-hmm. They do not have their own systems that mm-hmm. they release games on. Mm-hmm. By definition, that makes them an independent studio. But I think there is a key difference because, at least this is how I define independent studios, is regardless of where the developers came from, do you self-publish games? And if you don't self-publish games, you are an independent studio. If you rely on a publisher to get your game out the door, you're an independent studio. Because guess what? It's not the making of the game, the publishing of the game. There's so many fees, so many hoops to jump through. It gets really expensive. And that's why people don't consider Square Enix, Ubisoft, etc. to be independent studios, because they self-publish. They don't need Nintendo to publish Assassin's Creed. They'll put it out themselves. They don't need, you know, Sony to publish, you know, Final Fantasy. Yeah, there might be a contract with Sony, but Square Enix will be the publisher on that contract. They will make sure you don't own our game. You just mm-hmm. have rights to exclusivity for a certain time period or whatever. You know, if we want to re-release this a decade from now for something else, we can. You don't own it. And that's the interesting diatribe, I think, that exists. But that still doesn't mean that there is such a wide difference between indies. Like, from a solo guy like Elected, who knows if this game can make or break them. We'll see. Mm-hmm. To bigger ones like Playtonic, you know, who made Yooka-Laylee and, you know, has now two successful games, and they're working on a third. They're working on a sequel to Yooka-Laylee, and, you know, they have a bunch of industry veterans in there. So I find that all of them are technically independent as long as they're not self-publishing, and once they get big enough, they don't necessarily rely on other publishers anymore. I don't know, is Hollow Knight Silksong going to be self-published? Maybe. They could probably afford to self-publish at this point if they want to deal with the additional, you know, overhead of all of that, which also, by the way, maximizes the money, because when you have a publisher, they take a cut of the game sales. So getting back to my original point with the indie world and it being just a giant ad, which is all these things are, right? Well, yeah. Nintendo mm-hmm. Directs are just advertisements. The Bethesda Xbox Showcase on June 12th, it's just an advertisement, right? For all the complaints about advertisements, we're begging companies to give us ads.
Hell, even Nintendo Directs are.
I want to see more. I want to see more from Breath of the Wild 2. So you're begging Nintendo to give you a trailer, which is an advertisement to buy the game. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you right now.
Yep.
You guys watching that want more Breath of the Wild 2, are you going to buy Breath of the Wild 2? Do you already know the answer to that question? Because if the answer is you do know and you are, then you don't actually need anything else. They've already convinced you to buy. So technically, you just want more information on something you're already going to purchase, not because it's going to change your purchasing decision. You just want to play the game, basically. But since you know you can't play it till 2023, I just want to see more. I want to see more. But the purpose for Nintendo is to get more people to want to buy it. So we're complaining about ads. Oh, the indie world sucked. Okay, so when people tell me the indie world sucked, I go, that means there was just nothing in there that interests you. Cool. I mentioned after the indie world that I didn't feel like there was any bangers. And the thing is, for a banger to come out, it's really subjective. Mm-hmm. Some people might look at Tabs and go, that's a banger. Dude, that battle simulator, that's a banger. Or the Crab Game, that's a banger. The Song Game, that's a banger. Elected really spoke to me. That's a banger. That's a day one buy for me. They sold me. That's great. But I've kind of turned face on the indie world since then, because I felt like it was probably good for somebody, just wasn't good for me, and that's still true. There's absolutely nothing in that indie world I'm going to buy. But I'm also someone that considers other people's opinions, and I've realized since then, even though the general opinion's been really negative, that we need to start remembering what the purpose of this is for. For all those games we want to see in it don't actually need an indie world.
Yeah.
I want to see Silksong more than anybody. I played the damn game in 2019. Twice. Eric played it. Mm-hmm. Really damn good. We want that game. But do I need it to be in an indie world? No. Shredder's Revenge. Hey, guess what? They just did a big blowout at PAX East, and there's still new gameplay coming out from big outlets. Game Informer, GameSpot, IGN. Yep. Does it really need to be in an indie world just because we don't know the exact release date? No. They can just tell us any day, and it's going to be covered by every major gaming outlet in the world. I do not need it. And I already know my, like, look, I already know I'm buying Silksong day one, and I'm buying Shredder's Revenge day one. I don't need it to be in this. This is about showcasing, and I love how Eric put it. It felt like the most indie of indie worlds because it's stuff we didn't know about. Very few of these games in this show were games anybody had ever heard of mm-hmm. before this show. Mm-hmm. Ooblets was one that's actually been out before on another platform. So that was on PC. There was a controversy with it being an Epic Store exclusive for a bit. Whatever. The bottom line is that was their known property, and that's probably why they kicked off with it. But I honestly think that indie world ended up just being just fine. Its purpose was to advertise good games that we don't know about. And frankly, I don't think any of the games look bad. No, there's a lot of trash on the eShop. I wouldn't call any of those games trash.
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose was to serve what the eShop should already be doing, to be fair. To be clear, the eShop should fix all of this, and then maybe we should expect bigger games, because we should be able to find all these games quite easily on the eShop if they're good. Unfortunately, yeah. You can't. So that's what this is for, drawing attention to the games that we should actually pay attention to on the Nintendo Switch eShop.
And not even that, too. It's the developers, too. Some of these developers, these indie showcases are so great for them. Their game comes out
sure.
and actually has some sort of a success. If they had dreams of working for a bigger company like Nintendo, like Ubisoft, like, you know, like something like that, this game getting out there and getting some sort of attention and actually getting some feet and moving copies could boost their career to a point where they could get their dream job too. That's awesome.
One thing I will say to that is that most people, at least based on some indie developers I've talked to, their dream is to be independent, and that's why they do it. It's actually really easy, believe it or not, to get into the AAA industry. I know it sounds like, oh, it's so impossible. They want people right out of college so they can pay you nothing.
No, it actually is. It actually is.
It's stupid easy to get in.
Yeah. Where I graduated from, Full Sail University in Orlando, basically it's a media school, and there's game designers. They're there all the time. Where Enix, Nintendo, everybody, they're always there because they want to grab them instantly, you know, and it's not because you're going to design the game. It's because they're going to put you at the lowest level, starting right there, because that's the easiest way to hire people and then grow within the ranks within the company. Once you get there at the lowest level, then you can you grow within the ranks. So I agree. It's crazy, you know, and I wanted to add one more thing about what you guys were talking about, the developers, you know, these developers actually, you know what, they actually need our support. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't know that game that much, even if it's not that familiar to us, maybe this is just their foot in the door in order to make maybe the next Mario, right, you know, exactly. Or the next Zelda, or the next Metroid. You know what I mean?
I always think of like the guy with the elect head doing it all on his own.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is a make or break for him. Mm-hmm. If this game does well, he can fund his next project that he has an idea exactly. for. And if it doesn't do well, he might be running off to join one of these companies because he doesn't have the money to make it. You know,
man, and I know I keep saying it. We're so used to Mario. We're so used to Zelda. We're so used to the main first party games, and we love them so much. But what if the best next, you know, franchise it depends on us kind of just supporting one of these small developers on their journey?
Well, I look at it like this: like Minecraft came out of nowhere. Now yep. it's a phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say out of nowhere, but it originally started out of nowhere. Very few people knew about it, and it was word of mouth that got it spread around, and now everyone knows who Minecraft Steve is, even if you don't play Minecraft. Mm-hmm. And then you look at even things like Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
How many people know? I mean, there's literal merchandise being sold at stores now for what used to be this small little indie game that just exploded. You never know what the next big
Cuphead
hit is going to be. Cuphead is an indie game, but it was published by Microsoft.
Okay.
So that's why it got attention. That's because Microsoft pushed it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that before games like Fall Guys, before games like Cuphead or something, these indie developers started with the maybe another game that maybe we,
we never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it just, you know, I think we should, you know, it's important to give developers a chance to shine and to, you know, give them the time of day so that they can step it up, you know. Obviously, they know what the people want. You know what I mean? Can they give that now? No, maybe they can give us this right now, and this could lead to something greater. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's all a matter of support. So, yeah, I agree with also Eric. This was an Indie Direct. And with you two, Nate, this is an Indie Direct, and that's what it was. You know, mm-hmm. it's a showcase from people, from developers that we did not know. You know what I mean? And they presented what they had, and it's up to us to either to take it, you know, or not.
Yeah, I find this true in like Nintendo Directs too. Like people get upset when the Direct was just a bunch of things they've never heard of before, and it's like. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about trying something you've never played before? Like,
exactly.
You might actually find you like something beyond the typical games. Yes, it's nice that Mario, Zelda, you know, say anything from FromSoft at this point has like a similar gameplay feel to it. Like, it's nice that you can rely on certain developers for certain types of games and certain gameplay experiences. But how do you ever know if you like more than that if you don't try?
Mm-hmm. True. That's
and
true.
What's nice about independent games. They're often cheap enough that it doesn't really hurt the wallet to give right. something new a try. It could be a bit harder to justify, man, you know, I gotta drop 70 on like the next big Sony game to know that I don't even know if I'm gonna like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I was thinking that exact same thought when I bought Soundfall. I went straight to the
eShop.
How
much was it, by the way? I don't remember.
I think it was like $20. My team meant
that's not terrible.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that when I purchased that game. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather play this game. It's not my type of game. I own nothing like it, but just the fact that they were presented on the you know, Indie Direct, I think they're expecting some kind of, you know, they want people to play their games. They want people to at least try their games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And give them a chance like I said, this could lead to something even bigger. And I think it's important to, you know. Stand up for the little guys, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for Nintendo, it's always going to be a balancing act. I look at the indie world as they're trying to advertise the games that we should care about that you probably haven't heard of. But mm-hmm. also at the same point, you know, Nintendo has to do that balancing act. But if we keep not showing known, it might hurt viewership, which actually could hurt these games because people stop showing up to watch the indie worlds if they don't. You know, if it ends up being, oh, yeah, there's nothing in there I'm going to like anyway, so I'm going to stop watching. And I've even heard that of this one. Even a number of people in the chat saying, I didn't even bother to watch it this time. And it's like, that's what happens when mm-hmm. you don't consistently put known things in. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine that Nintendo did, like, 3 Nintendo Directs in a row, and none of them had anything big announced. People would start to wane on if they should even watch Nintendo Directs anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's never happened. Usually if there's like a kind of a meh direct, the next one's usually a pretty big deal. It's made up for. But you never know which one it's going to be, so you tune in all of them. But I think some people have felt let down by prior indie worlds, hence why you're seeing videos, you know, from other creators where it's like, oh, here's how to fix it. Like, there is nothing that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Nintendo maybe needs to find a better balance, but it's a hard thing to strike. It's a hard thing to strike because you're also in indie worlds reliant on other companies. You know, like some people want to see Sports Story. We haven't seen Sports Story in years. It's been years. Haven't seen it. It's a Switch exclusive. Nintendo is publishing it. Haven't seen it in years. But you know what, guys? Whenever it's ready to be shown, Nintendo's publishing it. You think it's going to be hard to find?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be everywhere. Everybody might pop up in a Nintendo Direct for crying out loud. It's going to get advertised. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think indie worlds are nice. And here's the thing. There are a number of people that do enjoy them. And literally, there are people that buy Switch that don't even like Mario or Zelda. They just want portable indies.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe one of the ways Nintendo kind of does this and kind of keeps the entertainment for an indie world kind of is they kind of just, instead of, they have a few like this, but then all of a sudden they'll have like one or two in a row that kind of have, you know, a little bit bigger indie titles. And then, you know, you kind of go with, so you kind of randomly splatter in one that has the kind of bigger indie title. So people have to kind of tune in going, oh, am I actually going to see it this time? Am I not going to see it this time? Kind of give them a little bit of a taste of something in a couple of them. And then just kind of keep your smaller ones in there. So people have to tune in going, well, this could be the one that shows something, you know, that I want to see.
Yeah, people always worry that, like, the big games overshadow the others. And sure, when you talk about, oh, what's trending on Twitter, sure. But when you talk about, yeah, but because that big thing is there, how many people also saw this other thing? Mm-hmm. And people that, then some people saw it that might go, you know what, that looks really good. Let me go jot that down quick to buy it later. Mm-hmm. They might not run to Twitter and start making it trending, but they might get some additional sales. So
I mean, it also works as a booster for any developers to say, oh, you know what, I need to step up my game. You know, if I was planning on putting out a game that's this caliber, maybe I could do a little bit more development wise to bring this game up a little bit more, so that when it's out there, it causes a splash. I think that should be every single developer's goal, to cause a splash. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a lot of good developers out there. Now I'm going to go on the other side of the coin. Yeah. There's a lot of good developers out there, right? But we need developers in the indie world. If you want to cause a splash, step it up. Bring the game. You have the talent. You got the tools. Bring it. You know, bring it. You know, if you're planning to present a game in the next Indie Direct, try to be the main event. You know, go for it. You know what I mean? Pretend like you're in the wrestling ring and try to, yeah, you know, jump on the rope and do your best flip. You know, you got to step it up because just, you know.
To be fair, I think the games we do see in these Indie Directs are the games that step it up. Because for all the games we see in it, there's like 40 to 50 that didn't make the cut.
Hey, there you go.
More.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to add one thing. One thing that I saw, I was looking at both your live, and I had the Nintendo one aside. You know, a lot of people don't know that an Indie Direct is not first party games. The chat was filled like, oh, show me Breath of the Wild. Show me another Mario. A brand new Mario, please. Show me this. Show me that. I'm like, yeah. You do know this is not first-party games. Nintendo-developed games are not coming.
I also wonder how much of that is, we don't give a shit about this. I'm going to bitch until you show me what I want.
That's very true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... I mean,
fans, you know, can be... I mean, people in general can be a little selfish. And yeah. I think that's funny when people get mad at me for like not being more negative about some of the stuff, and I'm like... Sorry that I'm understanding that everyone likes different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I'm being considerate. My bad. I guess I'll just be an asshole. Can be about some things.
Yeah.
Let's get to our next topic. We had a little bit of chatter about next generation this week because Nintendo's financial report, end of fiscal year report, came out, and everything's looking fine. Cool. We're not going to really go over those numbers. I did a whole video on that because Nintendo said some interesting things in their Q&A. And one of those things, they were asked two specific things about something new. First, they were asked if there was going to be new hardware released in this current fiscal year ending March 2023, and Shintaro Furukawa had no comment. And this is the very first time he has ever decided to say nothing. But in the past, he said, we're in the middle of the generation, so it wouldn't make sense right now. We're still in the middle of the generation, wouldn't make sense right now. Oh, we're always working on new hardware. That happened to be the year OLED came out. We're always working on new hardware. Here's OLED. But this time, asked directly about it, instead of just, he could have gave a generic response. He probably wouldn't say middle of the generation again, because it would be really weird if we're like technically like 3.5 years into still saying it's the middle of the generation. That might be a little strange. But he could have said, hey, we're always working on new hardware and left it at that, like he said in the past. But he didn't. Because for those who don't know, Nintendo can't actually lie to investors.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. They can actually get sued big time if they lie to investors. So they have to always use careful wordplay. And they know this question's coming because it comes at the end of fiscal year of every single end of fiscal year report is asked about the following year if new hardware is coming. And you know Nintendo's never going to fully admit to things until they're ready to reveal. But they can sometimes give little tidbits of hints that something's coming. And the Shadow Furukawa, this is the first time he's ever going to be handling launching new hardware because he didn't launch Switch. So him having his first ever question about it and saying no comment, that's the ultimate. I'm not committing to it, but I can't tell you no, because if something does come out, I can't lie to you about it. So I'm just going to say no comment, which, by the way, doesn't mean we're going to get new Switch hardware, but it also makes you really, really think.
Yeah.
Wow. He doesn't want to say one thing or the other because there he might have something new come out this fiscal year. And if he says they're not going to, then they do. He lied. And if and again, you could wordplay around it. He could have just said, we're always working on new hardware and left it at that. That's basically a non-answer. But he decided to specifically, for the first time ever, say, I ain't talking about it. No comment.
It's an answer.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, that's like a, wait a second.
So it's,
why didn't you just say you're always working on new hardware? Leave it at that. You could have just generic'd it. And you're like, no, I'm not going to this time.
Huh. So going off of that, though, does that kind of then lead to next March-ish time frame? Because, you know, at the end of next fiscal year, it could be pushed to 2023. So if he did say, yes, it was coming and it didn't come.
It has till the end of March.
Well, right.
So, but again, setting that aside, that wasn't the only talk about the next one, because that was just new hardware. Doesn't necessarily have to be a new generation. Okay. Mm-hmm. To be clear, this was just a question about new hardware, not next generation. He did take a question on next generation later, where someone asked about how Nintendo plans to transition to next generation. Again, this is the people, the investors, prodding, trying to get more information because they weren't going to let him get away with no comment. They're like, fine, you're not going to tell us. Okay, well, how do you plan to transition? So then they could see if they could see patterns happening at Nintendo until when that transition is beginning. And he gave a really, really generalized response over, oh, we're trying to push Nintendo accounts and, oh, we're making movies and we're trying to expand our IPs in other ways that might create future interest in our IP, which, by the way, has nothing necessarily to do with transitioning to new hardware, but he's just advertising and talking about how Nintendo is expanding, which is supposed to, hey, if our hardware fails, we still got movies, we still got this. But he said, supposedly, again, we don't have the official translations out, supposedly said that he's actually worried about their transition to next generation because Nintendo doesn't have a good track record transitioning.
Yeah.
You heard what?
I heard a different translation.
Sure. What's that? There's so many of them out there right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, the first translation that came out, it's not the official one. We still have to wait for that one.
Yeah. That one's like next week or something.
Yeah. Apparently, the word was not worried, but priority. It's our priority for us to you know, work on the transition to a next console. It's always our priority for us to, you know, think about ways on how to transition without affecting our current gen, you know, active users.
Yeah.
So that's one of the translations that I heard. And this guy is Japanese. He just translated,
So again, this one was a way for the official translation. And what's funny is I've heard from some people that speak native Japanese and are at these meetings as investors that sometimes the official translations come out and it's not actually what was said. It's just what Nintendo wants the public to know.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of funny that sometimes you get some things that. So we'll see. The fact that those headlines made it out there, I'm sure Nintendo's going to be like, no. Let's reword things in the translation because let's set the record straight. You know, who's going to, is an investor going to come out and out us? Oh, they haven't outed you yet, so I doubt it. They're pretty happy as long as they're getting paid, getting those dividends. But what's interesting, of course, in all of this is we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know anything. We just hope. We presume. We can read between the tea leaves. And try to make a guess, you know, like, oh, when they also delayed Breath of the Wild 2, they never said that they delayed it because they needed more time to develop the game. That was actually never a reason given for delaying it. Mm-hmm. They kind of just said, hey,
it's delayed.
Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look at the exact word, I can't remember what it was, but I was reading it the other day, and it's like, you know, compared to other Zelda delays, they always get, oh, we need more time to develop the game. We need more time to perfect it. He didn't really say they needed more time for anything, just that this is the release window we've decided to put it into.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, so the game might be done this year, and to much of a fan's chagrin, they just decided that they need to delay it for some reason. And if you read between the two leaves, you can go, well, okay, he won't deny that there might be New Harbor coming. Oh, they pushed the Zelda game. Last Zelda launched with new hardware. Is there something where they feel like they can take advantage of Breath of the Wild 2's hype to potentially push another platform? Not that it won't be on the current hardware, but that the new hardware, they're going to wait till after the holiday season to get out the door.
Yeah, maybe the how it looks on the new hardware is the selling point.
Of the hardware, not even just the hardware.
The game is going to sell itself like hot red. Like,
now, again, this is speculation. We don't actually know anything, but
of course.
This definitely makes it feel to me anyway is like, hey, Nintendo knows that they got to, like, I know people don't like to hear it, but guys, as of March 3rd next year, it's 6 years. That's a console generation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a console generation. But we're already there, guys. We've already hit. And I know they say, oh, they want to extend. That's fine. And you got to remember, this might not be a next generation platform. So it still might just be extending the life of Switch by giving you more powerful hardware. Right. Keeping and it wouldn't it be in the family bad. Of Switches.
And it wouldn't be a bad move because Switch is, man, the success of Switch, they finally perfected what they want. They've been trying to do the entire time. They've been making a home console and a handheld side by side and doing it separately. They finally perfected and made it one console that is both handheld and home console, you know, with the Switch. And they're going to try to bank on it as much as they can. If they're going to release another Switch and call it, okay, the Switch 4K edition, give us a what with better hardware, a better chip inside, then that's what they're going to do. They're going to continue to milk it. And that's, you know, and it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to deny that something is coming just because, well, no reason because it's just.
Just because, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, you have to kind of really be closed-minded to deny that something is really not coming. Something is coming. And to add to that answer, not the first answer, not the no comment, but the worried about the accounts and about the software and about the services and about this just makes me think that they're actually taking you know, account the success of the Switch and making sure that if there is a next gen console, they do not want to make the mistake they made in the past where they have that huge drop at the beginning of the of the console life. They want to make sure that they keep these how many people we have on Switch right now?
107 million
users happy. And how can they do that? How can they guarantee these 107 million? I'll let you answer that. How can they guarantee that in the next gen console, these 107 million can transition with that same account to the new one? Two words. Backwards.
Compatibility. There you go. I mean, yeah.
I log off my old hardware, and I log into my new one. I go to my downloads tab, and there are my games. Okay, if I bought the game,
you mean don't do what they did with the Wii U?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Don't. Yeah,
it was backwards compatible, fully. Everything's there. Yeah. Separated out from the rest of the system, but it's there.
Yeah, but it's perfected. I think it's you know.
You mean actually do it like Xbox does?
Exactly. You know,
Xbox kind of learn really smooth, really smooth. Exactly.
I mean, I love
even like the operating system, totally the same. We're not confusing you. Just new hardware. Here you go.
Dude,
I already enjoy, but here's some new hardware. Have a good day.
I bought Minecraft on PC. I get my Xbox One X. It's there. I get my Xbox Series X. It's there. You know what I mean?
It's simple.
Man, it's simple.
Don't
it's
think just, about it.
You know, and the software is different. No, but just build it. For it to be compatible, you know, they have the power. They can't make excuses this time. You know, they have 170 million people to respond to. They don't want to lose that. Right. They don't want to lose that revenue. They want to keep us happy. Backward compatibility. I just want to I'll upgrade, but I want to log in and I want to get my you know, I just bought a game last week. You're selling me a console this week. Mm-hmm. You know,
I will say this. I think there's a bit more to it than just backwards compatibility. Mm-hmm. And this is only, I only have to bring this up because it's Nintendo. If it was any other company, this wouldn't even be a conversation or a worry.
Oh boy.
It's
go ahead.
You can't confuse your user base by releasing a new platform that's completely different from the prior platform.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Switch type of.
We can assume, but how many times has Nintendo just said, nope, we're just doing something totally different?
Or a really shitty naming convention with the Wii and the
Wii. I mean, well, even think about this. Like, oh, we're going from the Super Nintendo to the Nintendo 64. Okay, kind of makes sense. Nothing's backwards compatible, but sure, it kind of makes sense. Different era, except now you gave us a controller that no one can even hold all of the things on it at once. That's really confusing. You can't hold the you can't use the control stick and the D-pad at the same time. You can't, but even though controllers exist at this time that you could do it, but you can't do it here for some odd reason. You have to decide which way you want to hold it. That's really weird. That's really confusing. By the way, I love the N64, but it's kind of like, hey, there's a reason that every single generation sales got less and less and less. And Nintendo thinks, we were doing what everyone else was doing. I'm like, not really. They never like think about the whole DualShock. How long did the DualShock design stay around from PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2? PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, and then when they finally changed it up with the DualSense, shockingly, the layout's still pretty damn similar to the DualShock. They didn't confuse people along the way, despite adding new features to the controllers, whereas Nintendo's like, hey, we want to add a joystick. You know what seems like a good idea? Let's just stick a dick out the center put a stick on it and call it a day. Mm. Which, by the way,
stick on dick.
I will say, the stick on the dick had the best shooting trigger I've ever used in my life. The way that was designed was great. Of course, it ended up turning out, hey, look, that's what the Wii nunchuck was going to be like as well later. But it just didn't feel as solid in your hand because it's like this little tiny thing versus a heavy controller. But it's just weird to me because Nintendo always does something funky. Like, you can argue that maybe the closest thing to what we're asking for was DS to 3DS and even DS. Basically DS to 3DS. Game Boy Color, but they started at the same generation apparently, so whatever. But like, you know, because like GBA to DS still was a kind of a shock to the system, because even though it was backwards compatible, it was still like, yeah, but this solo screen thing, this dual screen, and the DS blew up on its own right.
Game Boy to Game Boy Color.
Again, they considered that same generation. Unfortunately, a lot of gamers don't, but technically it wasn't a massive power increase. It was just color, which, oh, by the way, is a pretty big deal when you have a green and gray palette and you go to color. Yeah. Sorry, that's like one of the biggest upgrades you could have over power. But whatever, Nintendo. It's the same generation because you say it is. Because you say it is. Whatever. That's how you get to your 118 million Game Boys. You have at it. Switch is going to pass that anyways.
Yeah.
But I am worried about that. Like, we have to be worried. Because Nintendo does Nintendo things.
Yeah. But let me defend Nintendo here for a bit. Let me go ahead and become a lawyer for Nintendo a little bit. I think they're learning. Because
what's the proof?
The Joy-Cons. They could have just issued the Joy-Cons by themselves and then added the attachment,
the strap.
They would have added as a permanent thing on the Joy-Con and have that as two separate things, just like they did with the with the Wiimote, right? But no, they said, you know what, we need to think traditional as well. We need to create a device where they can actually snap these two things together and make closer to a traditional controller, so people can actually buy that, because they do have that pro controller. They could have just made that snap thingy permanent on the Joy-Cons and then take more money by selling that pro controller separately. But that little device there, that where they you snap the controllers, make the Joy-Cons into a close to a, you know, more traditional controller, you know.
I think that's
them at least accepting that, you know, we can't go too crazy on this. We can't go too way out there. We have to do something somehow to keep it traditional so that people can kind of, you know, really ease into it. They have the option. They gave us the option to use two Joy-Cons, you know, move them like crazy, like a, you know, whatever. and they gave us the option to take those Joy-Cons, snap them together, and use it as a regular controller. So at least in that area, I feel like they are learning. They are aware. I'm the one. I'm like on the camp that believes Nintendo has been looking for a way to mix the worlds, the mobile and the you know the home console. They tried it with the Wii U, super failed because you step away from the Wii U too far with the pad and it loses connection. Whatever. That was their first attempt at merging both together, you know, and then they actually almost they kind of perfected it with the Nintendo Switch. I think this same form factor as in the Switch kind of model, maybe not the same name, Switch model as in slash mobile and slash port or whatever TV mode will continue from that, because I think that's their winning recipe. That they made it. They came this far. And for them to go back to like something completely alien to everybody, unknown, you know, I just don't see that. I think that will be the end of Nintendo. That will be the end of Nintendo. I think at that point, Microsoft, go ahead and buy Nintendo. You know, Sony, go ahead and buy them. You're Japanese. Go ahead and buy Nintendo and take care of that.
A little extreme there. The richest company in Japan. Right, they can have like 20 console managers in their own yeah, hearing. But right. That's besides what I couldn't vehemently disagree with everything you just said.
It's drama, dude. It's drama.
Like I just couldn't disagree with it more. Like even going back to the Wii U, I know so many people like to correlate the Wii U as the precursor. And I just sit there and I go, did you watch the Wii U reveal? They were trying to act like it was off TV play that was a selling point. That was like a footnote.
Yeah.
They were trying to sell it as dual screen gaming with your TV. They were trying to make a DS for your TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the off TV stuff was always like the side thing. It became one of the most used features, but that wasn't really what they were attempting to do with the Wii U. They were trying to make a traditional home console that brought the DS, the 150 million popularity of dual screens to your living room.
But just because that wasn't their original intent doesn't mean that.
But that mattered.
They accidentally saw that, oh my God, this off screen play is all of a sudden something big.
We
and
knew.
And that led to the Switch.
No, because we know that the initial concept design for Switch came out in behind the scenes for patents and development the year after Wii U was already on the table, which meant they were already thinking about this idea. And I think Switch probably originally started as what was going to be a successor to the handhelds. And they kind of just morphed it into something more. And this is why I also don't give Nintendo credit. Like, oh, they're so forward thinking because traditional controls, they knew it had to be handheld. You have to have traditional controls for handheld, period. It's the only way you can hold handheld comfortably. Don't think that had anything to do with anything home console. It was just kind of a, hey, if we want to make these detachable so people can do motion controls. Why don't, you know, since they're going to be using traditional controls and handheld anyways, why don't we just give them a little thing that we can slide it into that they can use as a traditional control so they don't have to buy a pro controller? I don't really think Nintendo was as forward thinking as Mike is giving them credit for as in with the times. I think this is more of a, hey, we thought we could take DS to home console and build off the idea of two screens and the Wii brand.
Mm.
Oh boy, were we wrong. That's not good. Meanwhile, we're working on this handheld device. Our home console is tanking like crazy. And our handheld, even though the 3DS is not necessarily doing well compared to prior handhelds, it's not, guys. I know people don't like hearing this. 3DS was a success. But it was the least successful handheld Nintendo's ever released. It's right there on their website. You can go look at the sales figures. It is the worst selling handheld in Nintendo history.
Hey, and by the way, I didn't say
not counting Virtual Boy, but Virtual Boy is a tabletop.
I didn't say forward thinking. I said thinking.
Thinking. Well, they're always thinking.
To the side and to the back because, you know, the handheld control, that's just...
Yeah. So I think Switch was kind of a happy circumstance of we need to start thinking about what's next past 3DS. They already knew they were going away from the dual screen design because they felt like it ran its course. Because all of a sudden you release a system that's selling half as well as the prior. Yeah, okay. This idea clearly isn't. People don't really care as much about it anymore. And then our home console is tanking. And they're like, oh, our home console is tanking. Why don't we make this thing? Because it didn't add the ability to switch between TV and the patents. and handheld until 2015. And what's funny about that is when you follow the development cycle, it's like, oh yeah, they knew at that point Wii U failed, and they didn't think that there was any chance they could release another home console that was going to bounce back at that point. They knew we have a handheld, let's lean into it, but let's make it able to be put on your TV. Remember when Sony did that thing with PSP and Vita, but like nobody really used it or paid attention to it? Let's do that, but do it better. And then Satoru Iwata had his last brilliant idea before, sadly, obviously, he passed away. And that's the thing, is all that was under Satoru Iwata, who, by the way, if we think about the wildly different things, it all happened under Satoru Iwata, just doing crazy, weird, different things all the time. So to be fair, we don't know what Shintaro Furukawa is going to be. He could be a more traditionalist. Hey, look what works for Sony all these years. Why are we not doing this? Why did we never did this in the history of our company? Even like branding wise, it's the Nintendo, then the Super. Oh, but then we're going to go to Nintendo 64. Now we're doing the Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox Series, Xbox X. Like, why are we confusing the marketplace? Why don't we go, this is Switch? And this is how I'll know if how Nintendo works, is when the next device comes, will he call it Switch 2 and just say screw it? So,
yeah.
I can see where they're going, because this is a very parallel comparison to Apple. Steve Jobs was a visionary, right? He thought like Taco Bell outside the bun, right? he wanted to just basically evolutionize every single concept, make something completely brand new from scratch, and try to just make every product that he made a breakthrough, right? But then came Tim Cook, the person he left afterwards, and Tim Cook was a very money-minded person. He was very stable money. Let's say whatever works, we'll stick with it. And that's why we've had the same, I would say, before the iPhone got the full screen, how many years did we get the home button from when Tim Cook came until now? We got it for many, 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 many years, even to the point where there's still an iPhone SE with the home button. He's the type of says, oh, you know what? The product works. Why change it? We'll just upgrade the insides a little bit and continue. This is kind of what I see in the mentality wise with the Nintendo CEO now. There's a chance that we might, that the Switch can continue.
Yeah, that's
literally continue.
I mean, that's what I've been hoping. This whole time about.
We've talked about this how many times?
Exactly.
That it could just be an iterative thing.
But I can't ignore Nintendo's history. That's my problem.
Not very true.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo historically doesn't do what we're hoping that they do.
Yeah,
like, it's just not what they do.
It's just a matter of time and see. But I feel like if he has the same exact mentality as a Tim Cook, what works is proven and people love it and they're responding to it, then you know what? Let's keep the Switch. Let's just continue to gradually upgrade that same Switch. That means that every single game will still be compatible with the prior Switch. You'll just get a bump in graphics and resolution and frame rates and performance every single time. That'll bring developers over to work for the higher spec Nintendo Switches, which will also motivate people who buy the bottom Switch to, you know, upgrade to the front one and then discontinue the bottom. And that's how Apple works. They give you a phone. This year's phone is almost the same as next year's phone, and then little by little, until they discontinue the bottom one, and people are forced to upgrade and upgrade. And I mean, right now, Apple's a what, $2 trillion company, $2 trillion company because of that same model, because of the mind of Tim Cook, how he actually just gradually increases each phone without alienating the prior phone. You know what I mean?
Well, no, they did there for a while where they completely tanked older phones, so they forced people to upgrade, but that's neither here nor there. they were definitely sued for that. And
But that's business. They don't really tank a phone unless it's maybe 4 to 5 years. If it's 3 years old, you'll still get service. You'll still get...
They were breaking phones. Like, they were releasing like updates that would like slow the phone way down if you were on like a you know, how many X generation back.
Yes, but purposely. that's still 5 years ago. It was still
yeah, older, but that exactly.
older phones. They were forcing upgrades, which felt really, really shady. But they didn't think people should be like the my problem. But this is just not just Apple. This is all the phone companies is they don't make your phone built to last a decade. That's just not the way it is anymore.
Yeah,
there's that too.
So even hardware wise, yeah. Like Apple did get busted in a lawsuit for purposely slowing down old phones when they shouldn't have. And you know what's happened now since then is Apple will just stop updating the phones, period. And just exactly. let them die.
And this is the reason why the old phones have to be slower is because they did not have the hardware to run the software. So something had to be give in order for that software to run. It wasn't going to run the same way on the newest phone, you know, just like the phone from 10 years ago. That's just not the way it works. You know, software becomes bigger. Software becomes, you know, it needs Apple works. They make their hardware with their software. Okay, so the latest software that's coming out is going to work the best on the latest phone that's coming out. Even though it's available for the phone from 5 years ago, it's not going to be the same exact speed. It's not going to be the same exact quality. It's just not the way it works. They make one fits all. One is compatible with all. And it'll be a different experience for anybody where you are, depending on what phone you have or what you have. And I feel that's something that Nintendo could do as well.
To defend Mike's point, you could argue Miiverse on 3DS versus Miiverse on Wii U.
Yeah, there you go.
It was significantly better on Wii U because it's more powerful and wasn't slow as hell. Or you could argue Miiverse on 3DS versus Miiverse on new 3DS. Anyways, what kind of builds into this, because like the third topic sort of blends in a bit, because the third topic was about Switch dropping in price, because it was a $40 temporary price drop that just landed out of nowhere at like Target, Amazon, and Walmart or whatever. And it was only up for about 15 minutes. One store sold out. The others never did. And then they corrected the price and went back to MSRP. And it's like, why would... If this happens at one outlet, you go, someone clicked the button wrong. Happens. Yeah. And you're probably not going to get it. They're probably going to cancel your sale. But they didn't cancel any of the sales. Everyone who got it for that price point got it. They didn't cancel any of the sales. There's no reports of canceled sales. And it was three different retailers that did it. Now, I thought one retailer did it and the other two were price matching, because that happens. Amazon and Walmart do price matching. Turns out, no. They all went live at the same... It was GameStop, not Target. All of them went live at the exact same time.
Mm.
So, this made me think.
Wait, Amazon did it?
What?
Amazon did it too?
Yeah, Amazon. At the exact same time. And this was for the Redbox original Switch. Okay, it was that version that was being discounted. They don't make the version one anymore. Haven't for years. Mm. So it made me think, even though the price jumped back up and it's back to MSRP and it's going to probably stay there for a bit, that they did this because a actual mandated Nintendo MSRP drop is coming. And they thought, or maybe they got the date wrong. Maybe they just jumped the gun because Nintendo wants to announce it first. They don't just want it to happen. They want to announce it at like their next Direct in June or something, right? They want to make a big deal out of the fact that you can now get this cheaper. And by the way, it does feel weird that now it's only $60 difference from Switch Lite. But hey, and that it's $40 and not more. But maybe this is to compensate for other regions where they're dropping prices and they're trying to keep the prices relatively the same based on currency exchanges. Who knows? But the point is that if this drop is coming before the end of this year, that kind of also means that they maybe just don't want a lot of these damn Switches out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get rid of their...
We talked about this when the OLED came out. Yeah. The OLED is the same Switch with a better screen. It's the exact same Switch with a better screen. There's no difference. It's got sleeker packaging, so that too is cheaper to make and cheaper to ship. Yeah. Like, the OLED is literally the same system with a better screen. Obviously, better kickstand. We can talk about the Lambo. Right. A little bit quality of life improvements, but there's no tech improvement. So it kind of makes having both at the same time redundant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I talked about how within a year of OLED coming out, they were going to drop the price of the OG Switch and eventually stop making it by the time we get to the holidays. And lo and behold, we got our price drop, and it looks like it's just happening exactly as I predicted. Price drop, get rid of them. And you might go, well, they haven't been in stock for, you're right. While they were worried about stock, they were just making whatever the hell they could make. I don't think Switch is hard to get anymore. Last time I went on Amazon yesterday, I could buy every single model of Switch at MSRP directly from Amazon warehouse. It's in stock. They caught up. Demand has gone down. Nintendo's still able to make 20 plus million a year. They're good. And I think Nintendo now realizes now that they caught up. Man, we got to stop. We got to change our manufacturing and stop making these Redbox Switches. Just don't. We make more money off the OLED anyways. And then if we're going to get new hardware out the door, we can't have four models running at the same time. Just doesn't make sense. So I don't know. What do you guys think? That's just a theory. No,
for sure.
Innate theory. Yeah, thanks for watching.
Right. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Almost good night. Not quite. Yeah.
To me, it could go one of two ways. Either they are, it's foreshadowing a new hardware coming out, or it's just foreshadowing them completely discontinuing it. And it's probably leaning more towards the latter, where they're just discontinuing the Redbox Switch and going to the OLED.
But it could be both.
It could be. It could be both. You know, I don't know. I'll believe new hardware is coming when I see it.
Well, I mean, that's the way it is.
And I'd be more tend to believe that they are going to get rid of the Redbox Switch before.
If there was any, well, they're going to get rid of it before a new hardware would come out. Because like my prediction was, Switch OLED fully replaces it by holiday, but new hardware won't be out by holiday.
Do you think they would release an OLED Lite alongside of a new version of the?
I'm going to say no. Possible. I know some people think it could happen. Mike is obviously one possible. I don't think it will, because I think the whole purpose of the Lite is to be as cheap as possible to get to kids. And OLED screens require glass fronts, which kids break.
So there is a possibility they can release an updated Lite with internal updates.
Internal updates to match the power of the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, if there's a new hardware that drops, I don't think the new Lite would drop till a couple of years later.
That's what I was going to do. Yeah.
But that's just a light version of the new system. Yeah, I think that'll happen. That's clearly going to happen. But I don't think the current Switch Lite is going to get some OLED screen update. I don't think that makes sense for kids. Yeah. One of the benefits of the plastic screen is that kids can't break it.
Yeah. But I'm with Nate on all this. I think. Something's ruined. They're going to discontinue the base brand Redbox one. The Switch OLED will become the new base model, because it is. Nothing has changed. It's the new base model. And they're going to continue, like I've always said, their original plan. They have an original plan. They had an original plan to release an upgraded Switch. It didn't go as they wanted. They released the OLED out of pressure. Now they're gonna go back to plan C, and make the OLED their new base, and then release a more powerful console. So I do believe that this price reduced thing, it was premature, but I think it was scheduled. Somebody just literally misunderstood something, you know. And I think
breakdown in communication. Where they're goes live now, when really it's supposed to go live this time next month or something.
Yeah.
But let me tell you why. And this is on a personal experience. I remember calling Amazon one time to return a Nintendo game, right? Because I bought Splatoon 2 for my daughter. And I wanted to return it. We bought it from the Nintendo shop on Amazon, and they have the Nintendo shop. So when the lady on the phone told me, oh, that's Nintendo that manages that store. We manage their hardware. They manage the store. We manage the centers. They send us, and we manage the shipping. It's like, for example, if I want to have an Amazon store, I manage the store. I send my stuff to Amazon warehouse. They are in charge of logistics and shipping.
Yeah.
So the lady told me, oh yeah, that's Nintendo. Nintendo will issue you the refund or through us. But we just manage logistics. We just ship and stuff like that. So if they made a mistake on Amazon, that's why I asked you, Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an official Nintendo store on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? just like I know for a fact that that's an Apple has an official, and I can't say too much about that, but you know, on Amazon, it's an official Nintendo store. So if anything's going to be changed, it had to be somebody connected, you know, somebody who was hired by Nintendo to manage their store on Amazon.
What do you think of this timeline where the price drop officially starts next month with the Nintendo Direct? They announce that they're discontinuing it during the holidays and then release the new Switch in March to kind of replace kind of the three tier type thing.
What I'm actually curious about is that the only price drop, or is OLED getting dropped to $299?
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
Not right away. I don't think it'll be dropped at the same time, but maybe by holiday when they announce we're discontinuing this, but don't worry, we're going to drop the OLED price to $299 this holiday.
At holiday, yep.
And it'll be like a holiday sale that just stays, and they never change it.
So it makes sense. I made a video because I actually received an email from the same exact guy that, you know, he sent me the list for the Nintendo Direct, from games for the Nintendo Direct. And one of them that I took more seriously was...
Breaking news.
There's going to be a Nintendo Direct dedicated to Breath of the Wild, right?
Sure.
Oh, it makes sense.
And with all this happening, I think that next console will be announced this year with the launch date of March next year. It's not going to be summer. It's probably going to be the September Direct. It was probably going to be September Direct because that gives it a little more time. September, October, November, December, you know, the second half of the year. I don't think Nintendo will announce a console this far back in the summer to release almost in summer next year. But this year, I feel like we're going to see an announcement for that next console.
One reason I disagree with you.
This year, around October, next gen console, March release date, with Breath of the Wild release date.
I have one reason to disagree.
That's my three cents.
We're all just guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
My disagreement is they will never announce it this year because then it hurts all the holiday sales.
Yeah, I see. But what if they announce
it? It'll be January. They announce it in January after holidays are done.
But what if they announce it in June and then they sell it for the holiday?
Well, I mean, that's fine. They could do it this holiday. But my point is that they're not going to tank their holiday sales.
With the March release date, though.
I go back on my speculation.
Go back to when the original Switch was announced, and it's like, oh, yeah, that was October. It's like, yeah, but they discontinued Wii U. They had nothing to sell.
They
had nothing to sell. They were selling NES Minis, and that's not going to affect NES Mini sales. So that's why I'm like, I just don't think they're going to tank their holiday sales to say, hey, by the way, don't buy anything till March. Have a good day. Switch you buy now is useless by March. Well, it won't be useless by March, but that's what it'll feel like when you announce. It's kind of like, oh, hey, we're entering the holidays. All right, Apple, announce your new device now that comes out after the holiday period. And tell people that, hey, don't buy, you know, still buy our current iPhone. Our new one drops in January. Have a good day.
You're right, man. I'll eat my words there, but I do agree.
I would like it, though. I'm not buying a Switch this year, so I'll take them. You know what, Nintendo? Announce it in this summer for next year. I'm good. I already have the OLED.
I think the Breath of the Wild, the Breath of the Wild Direct makes more sense in the month of January. Not in February because it's only a month away from launch, but, you know, in January. Well, they did say spring. Not necessarily March.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be March. Yeah. Doesn't have to be March.
So it could literally be
March is the crossover from winter to spring. Is in March.
Yeah. So it can literally be February Direct for April.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no guarantee Breath of the Wild is coming out in March. People just think that because they usually have a major game come out in March right before the end of the fiscal year, and March at the end of March is the beginning of spring.
And that's where the Switch dropped too.
Yeah. There's that too, the anniversary too. But that doesn't mean it's coming out then, by the way. Yeah. It just means we should have it by the end of May? by the end of May, something like that, or beginning of June.
Yeah. I'm so convinced that there is going to be. Well, I have to talk to my wife first. I'm going to make a bet.
I bet he's got to talk to his wife about. Hold on.
Yeah, because I really need to. This is going to if
gambling first, addiction to me.
I'll talk to my wife first just to make sure she approves, because I don't want to sleep on the couch or in the garage or in the car.
In the car. That's what I got sent to once.
So I'm so convinced that there will be a new hardware. I'm not going to say next gen, a new hardware presentation from here to March that I'm willing to shave off my head. Ooh. With permission from my wife.
Well, I can see why you would need that.
So why can't we find a way to make more friendly wagers like an undisputed between Skip and Shannon? They just bet cases of Diet Mountain Dew that they never give to each other. Well, we got to talk about something that physically alters us. That's how confident I am.
Right.
Yeah, you know he's going all in. Next thing you know, you're gonna be like, now we're all getting matching face tattoos.
We can do a ghost.
If this doesn't happen,
we can do a ghost pepper challenge.
Oh my god, I think I've done ghost pepper before.
Oh yeah,
pretty sure I have. I mean, I've had. I'm pretty sure I ate one on its own once.
I have.
Wasn't I did not enjoy it, but I did it. Can handle it.
Okay, how about we do this? How about we do the hot sauce challenge? If the Nintendo next gen console does not come out from here to March, not a next gen, but an upgraded Switch,
agree with you. So what's happening here?
I mean, let's do it for the fans.
It might happen during Prime Gaming Fest already. There's already going to be a hot sauce challenge. Potentially, it might not come up. It's going to be on a wheel that we spin. If it never comes up over 6 days, which if Eric's not there for two of the days, I don't even. Okay, I guess I'm going to be getting crushed. I'm going to have to retire the Wheel of Death those days. In retiring this, I lose every. Wow. Let's play some beer pong for. Oh, look. Oh, Nate, you won. Yes, I did. Other Nate. Yeah, shit. Let me spin the wheel. Guys, it's the same Nate. Don't matter how many multiverses Mike to bring me into.
They each get three shots of tequila.
You don't got to retire. You don't got to retire. Just take the hot sauce. Like just dip half of the bottle and just ship it to me.
Oh, there we go. Because, you might be filling in one of those. You never know.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed the discussion. It was kind of like a two-topic blend, but I think we got a lot of good stuff in there. Lot of good debates. And maybe I got Mike a little bit on that holiday thing, but don't worry, guys. You guys know what's going to happen, right? Jake Randall's going to come on a future episode. I'm trying to get him to come on Prime Gaming Fest, and he's going to destroy me within the first 30 seconds on the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He does every time. He has the memory of, I don't even know, what's some of the good memory? Because I have a horrible one.
Yeah. They say elephants never forget, but.
I don't know if that's actually true. Yeah. But whatever the case is, his memory is so good. He'll still bring up the fact that I messed up the ending of Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he'll just own me on it in like the first 30 seconds. So I'll mention something about, man, I'm such a good, man. Guys, we're not going to see any Zelda during the show, but dude, let me tell you about my theory. And he's like, listen to the theory from the guy who doesn't know the ending of Ocarina of Time. Right? He's just going to destroy it because he does every time. Uh-huh. He gives me more shit than my fiance now. I didn't think it was possible. That's fine. You don't have to. I claimed that I did, I made a big hullabaloo about how much I know the ending, and this is what it is. He was on the show, and he's like, are you really sure? I literally watched it live on the show and got destroyed.
Mm-hmm. He'll come out and actually prove Mike right.
Wait, what? He will. If I dispute him, he'll be like, I don't know about that. He's got a lot of gaming now. He's a good dude. He just likes yanking my chain. The way that I sometimes own Eric, I get owned twice as hard by him. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mike's going to come back and destroy me with something this holiday. I know. We'll have some debate, and you'll be like, actually, I just beat that game last week. This guy's full of shit. Then again, today Mike didn't even know the name of the game he's been playing.
Dude, it just came out like a day ago.
So? I don't know. When I buy a game, I tend to remember the name of it as I'm playing.
I knew it was Sound something, Soundfall.
The thing, funny thing is, too, your Switch is like right there. You could have just like picked it up and looked at the home
screen. Too tired.
Too much work.
Semantics.
Besides, the Switch looks like it might be in the dock in the back right now, so that's just too much movement. Too much movement.
It's way back there.
Yeah, too much movement. I just wanted to prove that background was real. And Paul, I know he's just green screening right now, and he's actually living in the slums.
Green screen.
I mean, the green screen could be further. Oh wait, no! I saw the touching of the couch. The couch is real.
Yep.
The couch is real.
Oh yeah. Gotcha.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. You guys should go check out Nintendo Academy on YouTube if you enjoyed all this conversation here. He's a good dude. He'll be back pretty much every week unless I have to squeeze somebody else in. And who knows? I just don't have a layout right now for four people, or I would do four people. Yeah, we'll make it work some other way. Maybe we'll just if I have too many people, we could just spawn wave it.
We'll put them
and just. Hey, it's just a Discord video, and that's what we all are, and that's our show.
Well, we could do the three people that show things, and we'll have Mike as the thing we show.
Oh, no. Mike. Ooh, I am the main person on this podcast. Everyone else worship me. He starts hitting buttons over there, and weird things pop up. Yeah, so, you know, I'm in the. We're all stuck in the multiverse of Mike, not knowing what's happening.
You're right.
Anyways, all right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to slap Mike's channel in the chat right now. If you're listening to the audio version, he'll be a link to his stuff down in the description. You guys are
this
awesome.
This Saturday we have our 10K event with
congratulations again, by the way.
Nice.
We got Kenny James, the voice of Bowser, coming up, so talk to him. You can ask some questions.
Look at that. I was just happy about hitting 77.9. Mm-hmm. And we finally got off the 0.8 for now.
Yeah.
Give it like a week. We'll probably drop back down to the 0.8. But hey, I was finally happy to see 0.9. And you know what we're having for celebration? Nothing. I'm sorry. And when I get to 80,000, there's still probably nothing. I'm sorry. When we get to 100,000, it'll just be Mike. I'm sorry. I don't have the connections like he does. I can't pull in voice actors, but I can pull in Mike. Hopefully by then. You know what's funny? By the time I get to 100,000, Mike's going to be at 40. So it is what it is. Mike's going to pass me. That's what's going to happen.
I'm not going to pass you.
Side by side all you want. Reality is I'm so far ahead of you, so you're going to get all caught up. Next thing you know, we'll be neck and neck, and people are going to be doing one of those YouTube live streams where they show both channels competing. Who's going to get 100,000 first? And then Mike's going to be like, an hour later, 100K. An hour later for Nintendo Prime. Dude, did he just lose 10,000 subscribers? How the hell did that happen?
Yeah. He's back to 77.8.
God damn it. Can't get off 77.8. That's the key.
Nate, in all seriousness, I'm grateful to you, man, because I think you're one of the most kind YouTubers on YouTube, okay? No matter what people say. You do have a kind heart. You have a heart for YouTube, for your channel. You love your subscribers. And then you also love pulling people up. Okay, so that's why I appreciate Nintendo Prime. I appreciate Eric. I appreciate you. Because I've reached out to a whole bunch of people to see if they want to collab, if they want to get to know me. Nobody responded.
Yeah, it's been rough out there. To be honest, it's rough for me.
But then again, I mean, you reached out to me when I was about 5,000. You know, you actually, I reached out to you and you responded to me. I was around 5,000 subscribers. That's like nothing.
Yeah, and I think you and Andres Restart, both of you were sub 10 before I started talking to you guys.
So, you know, others would not do the same thing. Others would consider themselves to be way above. You know what I mean? And to be sitting here talking to you, and you consider me as a level playing field with you 70,000, almost 80, and me 10. To me, that means a lot as a YouTuber. You know what I mean?
We're just people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what I mean. If more people on YouTube were like that, trust me, we would all grow together. We would all grow together.
I mean, we have people coming out from Xbox. June 12th, we have people coming out from Xbox who they're Twitch streamers that have like 100 people that follow them. But why am I bringing them on? Because their knowledge and personality is booming about what we need for that Xbox day. That's all I care about. They could have 100,000 or they could have 50. If I discover them and I watch their stuff and I go, yes, yeah, come on my show. Let's have some fun. Get the attention you want. Maybe get some fans. Have a good time. That's just the way I am, though. Like, I care about the conversation more than I care about what your subscriber count is.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate when, like, some people, because I reached out to some bigger people, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you're just trying to get their fan. I'm like, no, I'm not. I thought it would make a good conversation. Sorry. Mm-hmm. My bad. I'll never ask a bigger person again. I didn't think it was that big a deal. My fan base suggested I ask, so cool. Let me move on, and I'll go Mike Perez. You want to be a regular? Cool. Now I don't got to worry about it.
Yeah. Care about that much either, because half of the time I have no clue what I'm talking about.
That's, I mean, and it shows.
Welcome to the boat, Mike.
I just got two Erics on the show.
Yeah, right.
Two Erics. One wears a Mario hat.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I just love Nintendo. I just love gaming. I just love the fans. I just love content creating. That's it, you know? I'm like, not a doctor. Not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
I mean, operator.
Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
Dude, I tried Dr. Mario on the App Store. They took it off. That's how bad of a doctor.
You're the reason. You're the reason they closed her down.
Yeah, they closed her down.
It was actually kind of fun, too. It kind of sucks it went away. But anyways, all right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Pokemon Garlic. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Member only. Member only. You're not supposed to
They made a meme about Pokemon Garlic.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Member only. Gotta be in the club. Gotta be in the club. Anyways, all right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you next week for episode 51 as we begin our journey towards the 100th episode, which should be a year from now, roughly.
That's good. And towards 80K, and towards 20K.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Make sure you check out Mike's channel, if nothing else, to enjoy his little 10K celebration he's got going on the 14th. You get to see some interviews with some very good Nintendo legends over there. In case you guys didn't hear, voice of Bowser and voice of Peach. These are the actual voices that voice them for the games are going to be on his channel on Saturday. So go check that out. That's going to be a blast. And then when you're done with that, come back a month later and come check us out on June 9th for Prime Gaming Fest. Thousands of dollars in giveaways. We have our own special guests, but none of them as special as Mike Perez. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.
Later.